Hello, and welcome to the Hempville CBD Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Cooey. I'm an entrepreneur in the cannabis industry with my business, Hempville CBD. This podcast is dedicated to educating you on CBD and how it can positively impact your life. Also, we'll feature professionals in the cannabis market and share their expertise in the marketplace. Join us on this enlightening journey that will enrich your appreciation of the dynamic cannabis marketplace. Follow us at hempvillecbd.com, and as always, there's an open invitation to come visit us at the store in South Haven, Mississippi. Now, let's get to it. Hello, and welcome to the Hempville CBD Podcast. My name is Ben Cooey, owner and operator of the store Hempville CBD in South Haven, Mississippi, and also the website hempvillecbd.com. Derek is not with me today. He's in the other room working on another project. But today, we have part two of our cannabinoids and cannabis. And today I have Scott Guerrilla on. Scott, the reason I have Scott on is Scott had leukemia and he ended up in full remission. He beat it by using, I guess the best way for me to say is natural medicines or natural compounds to do that. He did not use cannabis, I don't think, to do this. Even though we've been talking about how cannabis helps with some of the side effects of cancer, such as the vomiting and the nausea and the pain and the inflammation, the anxiety and the sleep. But I feel like the reason I want him on is even though he didn't use cannabis, anytime you can meet a cancer survivor and he's beat cancer, his solution might not be the same for a listener out there, but there might be some part of his solution, some of the things he did that some of the listeners that know somebody with cancer or has, or they might have cancer themselves, God forbid, there might be part of Scott's solution that they can use in their journey to try to reach full remission. And that's what we're trying to do is just provide the information and help out people the best we can. So, Scott, I'd like to introduce you. His name's Scott Guerrilla. He's from, what part of Mississippi are you from? Hernando?
Well, actually, I'm positioned in Lake Cormorant at this moment, but I'm originally from Peoria, Illinois.
Okay.
Moved down to the Memphis area. This was about 5 years ago.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about your story about, I guess, from the diagnosis and your journey into full remission and kind of what you do now. I guess, to stay in remission. How did all that happen? What happened the day you got diagnosed? I mean, were you sick before you went to the doctor, or were you just healthy and you walked in and they gave you bad news? How did all that work out?
Actually, I was in a terrible state of affairs.
Oh, God.
I finally went to the doctor because I had avoided doctors. As much as I possibly could, but lymph nodes that were getting heat, they became so inflamed. I mean, from one night to the next day, my hip joints were like protruding out of the side of my rear end there. It was like, oh my God, what's going on? I had these huge lymph nodes everywhere. One thing I should say though, this is not, in my terminology, a state of remission at all. It's a complete and total cure, which is, to me, impossible any other way. There's a very distinct difference between being cured and being in a state of remission. I don't expect it to ever come back. And actually, I had decades of anomalous symptoms previous to my diagnosis, which started when I was 18 years old. I ate cake and ice cream, and I subsequently determined that any form of sugar would put me into tachycardia, like 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
right when you're really, really needing some important sleep. And I ended up at the hospital. They were looking at my heart, 210 beats a minute, totally out of control at some points. So I quit eating sugar for a long, long time. It got to the point where even if I had one tablespoon of ketchup, it would tack me out at night.
Yeah, ketchup FPT, has a lot of sugar in it.
Ventriculous endocrine. Oh my gosh. So I was 49 years old. I'm at this point, I'll be 67 in May. And the lymph nodes and everything just went out of control. I was working in television as a broadcast engineer at the time for a top TV station in Illinois. And they sent me to the cancer clinic. My doctor did. I thought, what the heck is that? Oh my God, I can't have cancer. And then the diagnosis was positive B-cell chronic lymphocytic leukemia, which is kind of a speedy version of it, estimated from anything I could determine that she'd have 8 months. And I thought, well,
eight months to live.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So anyway, oh my gosh, that's where I was at. Doctor gave me a forensic analysis on two blackboards about the condition and how it would progress and how I needed to be on chemo. I thought, oh my God, just get me into the parking lot so I can think for myself, which I did eventually. And I did go into night sweats and all the stuff that excited everybody. It's like this one doctor that was helping the other doctor. He goes, did you have night sweats? It's like, this is not exciting for me. Yeah, I did.
Exactly.
But you know what? I'm gonna get through this. And in the back of my mind, I thought, a lot of people take world travels and they in history, you know, they go out and try to find the answer, you know, the cure for themselves. I thought, I got the internet. I'm gonna use the internet to do this. Well, one of my sons, he said, I met this nurse and she said she's got something that could help you. Previous to that, I had tried the green tea thing and all the things you hear about. I mean, I did whole pitchers of green tea. All these different things, and nothing helped my blood counts.
Well, let me ask you this, because you had mentioned this earlier. You were talking about your sugar intake, and yes. Me and my wife, you know, we're studying cancer now because her brother has cancer, and the one thing we're starting to at least believe is that cancer feeds off the sugar in your body, and that if you can reduce the sugar in your body, it doesn't mean you're going to kill the cancer, but my wife, who's a nurse, calls it, you got to fast, intermediate fast, to flush your body out of those sugars. And it's hard not to have sugar because so much stuff has it and you have to change your diet. But the point I'm trying to make is, if you can reduce your sugar intake, you're going to hurt. That's going to help you in the fight against cancer. Is that correct?
I agree, but there is a little twist to that. So if you use refined sugar, that's toxic poison.
Right.
It has to be unrefined, straight from the sugar cane and organic. Everything I do ever since has been totally organic. I don't consider anything that is toxic or has any toxic component. Those are stressors that just keep adding up in your body. One of the ways to get rid of cancer is to eliminate every single stressor you can possibly do, whether that's chemical, emotional, or radiological, like with exposure to EMF fields, for example, like 60 cycles from your outlets, anything that's going to propagate a field like that, or your 2.4 gig, you know, that you're
that's the other thing. That's the other
working
thing.
On the 5 gig and all this stuff.
You touched on was
That increases cellular permeability.
One, the technology we use does not help. It's bringing radioactivity to us. But the other thing is,
exactly.
you were talking about diet, not just the sugar, but you had to get a lot of these chemicals out of your body. And that's what me and my wife talk about all the time is we're knowing people who've been perfectly healthy their whole lives and they end up with cancer. And what we're starting to, I don't want to say figure out, but what we're starting to think or believe is when you go to the grocery store and you shop for food, most of your food, almost everything in that grocery store has some type of, especially the, what do you call it? I'm at a loss for words now. The pre-packed stuff, the preservatives, all the preservatives in the food. That she has a little scanner on her phone. I forgot. It's an app mm-hmm. that she has. She can scan any barcode of any food that's been approved by the FDA, and it's going to tell her how many cancer carcinogens are in that food. And I mean, she'll pull up some that have 4 to 5 of them. And of course, the FDA says, well, you know, you ask yourself, why is this in the food? Because the FDA says it's in such a low dose, it's not going to hurt you. And that might be true. But if everything you're buying has that in it, you're no longer taking a low dose because everything that you're eating from snacks to breakfast, lunch, and dinner has these carcinogens in them. And after 10, 20 years, depending on your body makeup, those carcinogens are just building up into your system. And then eventually you go to the doctor and you get cancer. Now, that might be a simple way of looking at it, and there are other factors that go into it. But I definitely think the diet is a huge part of it in getting it, and that diet is a huge part of it in getting rid of it. The thing is, you got to change that diet drastically.
Is that absolutely good? There's synergy on either end of the equation. When you have all these stressors building, there's synergistic reactions within them,
right,
and they keep accumulating, just as you described. But you can do that on the other end with healthy alternatives. Those things, I call it the molecular signature of our creators, encoded in the molecular structure of plants that come from nature. Now, when they make a drug, they'll extract a few units from, let's say, a 900 unit molecular chain to make a drug with a targeted effect. But you don't have the checks and balances that nature provided originally to make that compatible with our physiology. So that's my criteria for anything that I take in my body. It should be designed by nature itself, natural law, God, however you want to put it.
Right.
And I did make a commitment to God to share with anybody what I know to help them to recover. So that's I've kept that ever since. I said, before I was cured, if you'll give me the answer to this, which he did,
I will share it
with the people in need to help them. Yeah. And cannabis falls right in line with it because that's natural. I mean, the endocannabinoid system and the integration, we are made for these alternatives to work on our behalf to keep us healthy.
I believe so too. I mean, I had my whole life being a product of the 70s and 80s as a kid, which was say no to drugs, which I assure everybody out there, you really need to say no to drugs. There are a lot of bad things out there, but somehow cannabis got lumped into that. And the older I've gotten and the more I've learned about it and the more I've talked to people about it in the medical field, the more I've learned everything I was told about cannabis wasn't necessarily true, that cannabis has a whole lot more good to it than negative. And we end up, all the stuff that's marketed to us has a whole lot more negative than good that we put in our bodies. So I don't know how that happened in the past. I know a lot of laws were changed and a lot of big money was passed around to get those laws made to push cannabis out or give it a black mark. But it's clearly not the devastating drug that we were told for the last 40 years, that this thing actually has medical value. And the FDA now has acknowledged that. And even the president said in his speech the other night, the address to the union, that cannabis has medical value, and he wanted to lower, I think, the criminal rate, the people that were in jail for selling cannabis, as long as it was a nonviolent crime. And he wanted to free up the Section 1 scheduling of the drug to a Section 3, which means it has medical value and a low abuse rate. All those things are moving in our favor, and it's also legitimizing what we're saying, that this does have medical value. It's not the devil's weed just to get high and have a good time. This thing does help save people's lives.
Absolutely. I've got so many friends that have had great results from cannabis. It's almost universal. That did not exist as an option for me, because 18 years ago it was so illegal, it was like, oh my God. But I don't consider it a drug whatsoever.
The last thing you want to do when you have cancer is end up in prison and having to go to a prison hospital. Yeah. Because if you're going to a prison hospital, and I'm not talking bad about those doctors and nurses who do it, but it's not the care that you're going to need to beat such a devastating disease. So how did you change your lifestyle, and how did you beat cancer? What did you do when you walked out of that doctor's office in changing your life?
First, I had to evaluate every stressor on my body. It is all related to stress, whether that's chemical, viral,
right,
fungal, bacterial, all of it. Emotional
stress could change the compound or chemical makeup of some of those cells that are natural cells, but then turn into cancer cells. I get what you're saying.
Absolutely. It's really a threshold breach that causes cancer. So the first thing I do, which nobody would ever even ask you at the clinics, is what caused that cancer? then I could approach a cure.
Right.
But, the first thing I tell people to do is look at your foundation of life. What is the quality of your water and air?
Yep.
I have distilled my water ever since until moving out on land. Now I use clear well water without chlorine or fluoride or any of that stuff. But I was put in touch with a nurse. She said, we could cure this in 3 months. I said, what?
Well, that's a bold statement.
She put me in touch with a gal that had breast cancer. They spread it to her uterus and her brain and gave up on her. She cured herself, and I got in a conference call with her. She changed my life.
Hold on, time out. You said,
she told me exactly how to do it.
This woman had breast cancer that had spread to her brain, and she ended up
in uterus through an operation.
And she ended up beating that like in a couple of months. I mean, that sounds like a death sentence.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So you met
up with her. But
she had, over the phone, she advised me for an hour. And in this day and age, you can be, and I look at these millionaire people, you know, these superstars and all this stuff, and they die of these cancers over and over and over. It's who you know. It's not how much money you got. I can tell you that much.
That's right.
But this gal, she shared with me what she did. And the basics of it, first of all, you got to go organic. First thing she said, I'll never forget this. She says, do you use microwave? I said, none last year, because I found out what it does. It destroys the molecular structure of the food.
Correct.
She said, well, thank goodness for that. She said, I wouldn't even talk to you if you still used a microwave. Okay, so we got that. The reason I got cancer is because I was exposed through a previous job in engineering that I had. That exposed me to very toxic, like perchloroethylene, ethyl acetate, acetone, all these different chemical solvents and things. And that was that job. Then I went into a job in television sitting under, tens of thousands of watts of microwave energy, which increases cellular permeability. So these toxins can breach the thresholds. Everything is threshold related. That's why somebody can be perfectly healthy one day and the next day, bam, cancer explodes. Well, you just breached a threshold.
Right.
One of probably thousands in your body because some toxic synergy brought you over that threshold. That's why it can hit so fast. So this gal says, I got to say, the things that people don't know, start with, I used essential oils and I can't name the brand because then you're making a claim.
That's
self-entitled mentality. They feel like we're going to just keep all this corralled and make sure nobody knows about it. Anyway, these essential oils that I used were shown in vitro in scientific assays to kill cancer. But you got to know exactly what to look for to find this stuff because it's just enmeshed in thousands and thousands of studies, and nobody's ever going to bring them out unless you know what to look for.
Right, right. So, and we've talked about that too, that a lot of these medical studies, the bad stuff always hits the news and you hear about that, but all the good stuff with cannabis or any of these things, they're in the medical studies, but they don't promote the medical studies. They put it out there, but don't tell you about it, and you got to go look for it. That's exactly right.
Exactly true. So anyway, I had two types of oils. Well, frankincense is a DNA resetting oil. As we look at it, now I'm not making any claim or anything like that. This is just for people to do their own investigation and to study it for themselves, and everybody's different. And you know how that goes. So I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm just telling you what I did.
You're giving them a pathway to possibly walk down.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. This is the way I look at it, and it worked for me. That's all I can say.
Right.
So I was told frankincense will reset an aspect of the DNA. It's extremely complex science. I didn't understand any of it except for the conclusion that this will have an effect to reset the DNA. So that's kind of like the wild card in the equation of what I did. Then I would line up oils proven in vitro to kill cancer. I called those the killer oils. But there was a theoretical idea that cancer could be adaptogenic. So we wanted oils to be rotated. Every 3 days, I would take one oil and rotate it to another. Now you got to realize essential oils are one of the most potent and purest extracts of plants on the planet, and there's over 100 of them to choose from.
Oh yeah,
that's my medicine cabinet, and is my essential oil lineup. So I would rotate those out in conjunction with frankincense. But there's another aspect to this, which was just kick butt. Okay. I met only in 18 years. I've only met two people that I've talked to that have personally cured themselves of cancer naturally. And then there was one gal that cured her son or helped him, who was just a child with type 1 diabetes. And boy, was she was like freaking out just to talk to me about it, because everybody knows they can come after you, you know, and she did not want to be in the limelight. I had a book signing because I wrote a book back in 2011 called Remission Through Divine Order, RE-mission, like remissioning your life. First, you have to unwire your thinking, because everybody's patterned, of course, the way TV educates us.
Right.
I haven't even watched TV since I quit TV. But we were rotating those oils, but there's another part of that equation, and that has to do with enzymes called pancreatic enzyme, which is called chemotrypsin alpha. If taken on an empty stomach, it will work on the protein shell that surrounds the cancer cell that keeps your immune system from seeing it or engaging. It's almost like these cancer cells are invisible to your immune system. It's very peculiar. But if you take that on an empty stomach, it's going to work on the blood instead of the food. It's going to strip that shell off of it. I got fiery hot for like 3.5 weeks, like I had a fever. And it was so welcome, because in the process of me actually dying from the leukemia, because it got to be so intense,
right,
I just felt colder and colder, and I felt like I needed to throw up through my heart. I'd lost like 30 pounds. Well, that's a lot for a guy that weighs 50 pounds.
Right.
And I felt like my spirit was coming out of my body intermittently. I was tacking out constantly. I couldn't sleep. It was just absolute pain, because every joint in my body was swelled up. And when I did the oils the first time, and I knew this was going to happen, it was like, I've got to have a military grade resolve with this thing. And I express love for every organ of my body for sustaining my life, thanking God and gratitude for even the pain to remember that I was still alive. And at that point, it's like, we're going to go in, we're going to go to war with this thing. So I do the oils. I had a half-life of like 4 hours. I do the oils, and I knew I'd feel worse. I'd tack out faster. There was a doctor that said, just breathe in deep and push down, and you'll reset your heart. So that's what I did to try to contain it through those 4 hours, and then it would start to back off. But then I thought, just maybe I feel a little better this time after coming out of it than I did before I went into that cycle. And I did it again. And I learned that this would stair-step me slowly. So it'd take me down a little bit, but I'd come up a little higher than I was in the first place, stair-stepping out of the condition. Within 3 months, my blood chemistry was normal. It took over a little over a year to get my weight and energy back. And then I started working out again. I'm in the best shape now that I've ever been in my whole life.
So it sounds like a little bit like working out, meaning like my daughter took me to work out at the beginning of the year. And the first week of January, I felt like crap because my body was sore as could be from the workout. But over time, I could feel myself get stronger and better. And it kind of sounds like that's kind of the same way with these essential oils. You were taking them, but you knew at first taking it was going to shock your body, and you were probably going to go down a little bit further and feel worse. But if you were consistent with it and disciplined with it, your body's going to get used to it, and then all of a sudden the changes are going to happen, and you start getting a little bit stronger and a little bit better each and every day. Is that kind of how it goes?
Absolutely, 100% correct. And you know what else is wild? No matter how bad I felt, which was a living hell, during the day, my heart didn't tack out as much as it did at night. I mean, transient here and there. And sure, I lost weight. I felt weak. I was sick all the time. I still went to work. I never missed any work.
That's unbelievable.
I persisted. But I also rode a bicycle. I got an e-bike. And that I knew if I started losing my energy, the e-bike would compensate. I rode that thing from -2 degrees to over 100 degrees. I didn't care what it took, because I knew that was going to be part of that equation to recover. That exercise and that oxygen in your blood is essential.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to have a drive like you've never had in your life, and you got to want it.
Well, of course. And, you know, I would think, I would naturally think, and this is just my personality, that if I, God forbid, I hope I never get cancer, but if I got it, I would attack it as though it was life or death, because that's what it is. And so I'm going to fight as hard as I can. But I do know people, and one of the reasons I have you on the show, man, they get diagnosed with cancer. They go through, you know, they do what their doctor tells them to. They start going through the chemo, and they get in worse condition and feel worse. And then they just, you can see it in them. They just give up because they don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. And so they just give up, and then slowly the cancer takes over. And you didn't do that. Instead of you giving up, you were like, hey, I'm gonna fight this thing. I thank God for the pain I feel. Not that I want the pain, but the pain lets me know I'm still alive and I'm still awake and I'm still here to fight. And that's the mentality you got to have.
Absolutely. It's a giving in as well. It's kind of like you have to realize that you're in this situation. It's not like, well, also one thing that people do, they say, oh my gosh, how is your cancer? I say, it's not my cancer. It's more like, it's not me. You don't want to claim it.
Right.
And one of the things the gal told me that gave me that advice, she says, where the leading star is the victor at the end, because you're impressing your subconscious with everything that goes in your mind. And you don't want that, the star of your show, to be dead.
Right. And your mind is the most powerful thing, organ that you have in your body. And if you're thinking, we used to do this in sports. The coach would tell us, picture yourself scoring the basket or scoring the touchdown or shooting with the guy on all over you, but you still make it. Vision that in your mind so that when it happens, you feel comfortable in that situation. And it's almost like you're not having to think about it. You're just doing it. That's kind of the same thing. What you're talking about with cancer is if you're thinking bad thoughts, bad things are going to happen. But if you're training your mind to fight this as well as the rest of your body, that plays a part in how your body reacts and the chemical reactions that go on in your body to help fight this. Because if you don't have the right formulation, the right mindset, I guess you can say, because the mind is what releases these chemicals, then you're not going to get the results that you need. Correct?
Absolutely. In fact, you are so spot on with that, because I imagined I was the phoenix rising from the ashes. And I literally in my mind became that icon, that I was empowered, that I was, the fuel of the fire was just running through my veins to empower me to rise above anything.
That you were stronger.
Like a God.
You were stronger. You were picturing yourself being stronger than the disease.
Yes, that's for sure. And not to claim that disease. It's not my cancer. It's just an imposition, like a monkey on your back.
Correct.
You got to get rid of. Don't ever claim it. Don't ever say my cancer. It's not yours ever. Yeah, it is right. Not. It's not a part of you, and you will rise above it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the right mindset to have. Now, have you ever heard anything? Now, once you took those, I'll get back to what I was going to ask you, but once you took the essential oils and you saw yourself stepping up, did you change? Was there a certain point where you got to a certain level and you had to change it up again? Or did you just be consistent with the same old thing every day and eventually you worked your way out of it?
Well, eventually I worked my way out of it, but it is a progressive thing. Even to this day, I'm continually and progressively testing vitamins and mushrooms, you know, and things for cognitive enhancement, everything that enhances activity. Redox signaling is coming to play, which didn't even exist back then, which I'm intrigued with for genetic expression. And then I got into quantum state, which I'm trying to introduce this. I created a device which is resonant to your DNA through quantum state that's being researched by a doctor in Illinois, and I'm trying to get this out to other people. They think it might actually help with some of the problems with COVID.
Now,
off to the side.
Have you ever heard anything? You know, I talked to one of my customers who also had a mother who survived cancer, but his story was a little bit different. He emphasized apricot seeds. Have you ever heard anything about the apricot seeds? He said that apricot seeds have a little bit of cyanide in them, not enough to hurt us, but enough. He said that what happens is that when you take, he eats 5 to 6 apricot seeds a day. And he says that cancer cell views the apricot cyanide cell. It looks like sugar to the cancer cell. And so the cancer cell migrates to it so it can feed. And once it attaches itself to the cyanide cell, surprise, the cyanide kills it. It's not sugar. And so the cyanide will cure that cancer cell. And he said his mother did other things, but he said that's what he remembered helped out a lot. Now, I know you didn't use that, but did you find anything like that in your studies or research?
I did try apricot seeds for a bit, Olayotril, B17. And from my studies, what happens is that there's a reaction when it takes up the arsenic that's in there. When it meets the cancer cell, that's when it's activated and it digests the cell. But I had a reaction to that. I don't even remember what it was, but I couldn't do it. It made me sick, and I couldn't get through it. I couldn't use it.
Okay.
But I have great respect and honor the people that have and had good results with it. But then again, everybody's different, you know?
Yeah. So. His mother had a different type of cancer. She didn't have leukemia. She had cancer of the something in her foot that grew up her leg and was spreading to the lymph nodes. So different forms of cancer, I'm sure, are going to take different. You might be use some of the things that you did, like essential oils, but different forms of cancer, you might have to use a different formulation of what you're doing, but it all plays a role. Now, once you got in, you had said this earlier, you said you're not in full remission, you're cured. And so clearly there's a big difference. I always thought that if you had cancer and you were in, let's say, full remission, you were always worried that it was going to come back, because everybody I've ever known with cancer, they would go back to the doctor, and the biggest question that would be posed to them once they came back from the doctor was, is it still in remission, or did it come back? Did it come back? And so I always thought you would live kind of in a little fear of, you know, I had it, I beat it, but once you get it, you could always get it again. And so there's always that fear of it coming back. But it seems like you don't have that fear. It seems that you're like confident. Look, I'm cured. It's done. So clearly what you're doing now in your life is different than maybe what it was before you got the diagnosis. Are you still maintaining the same regimen that you did when you had cancer to beat it? I would think you would have gotten off of that because you no longer have cancer. So what are you doing that's different now to stay cure-free and not have it come back on you?
That's a great question, I got to tell you, because my entire lifestyle was revamped and is progressively changed from day to day. If I could learn something, my late wife actually died of cancer, and she says, man, I've never seen anybody could flip everything they do just on a dime. I say, if I learn something that's going to be
beneficial,
healthier for me, I'm going to do it, and I will stick with it. Absolutely. One of the things that I had not mentioned, I came up with this cereal. You got to look at these ancient grains. And I call it today my cleansing cereal, which I like to do at least twice a week. I use it in millet. I put it in a little blender. You can use a coffee grinder. It turns it to a powder. That way it'll cook really quick. And I put cayenne pepper in there. For the joints, a little bit. It doesn't have to be a lot. And olive oil, of course, organic. Everything's got to be organic.
Right.
Or I don't do it. I'm trying to think of everything I put in there. I usually put some tahini in there for some protein. And also carrot juice every once in a while. I did carrot juice every day for 10 years because I couldn't do any fruit because of the sugar in it. But carrot juice, organic, did not tack me out. I don't know. I could drink a whole glass. My skin turned very orange, which if you think about these people with conventional medicine, they'll act like it's a disease if you turn orange from carrots. That's actually a protective thing in the cells. So that worked really well because I needed that vitamin C. It was my only source of it. Since then, I've learned you can make, you know, pine tree needle tea and this and that. But that carrot juice has got some magic to it, I can tell you. It's good for collagen building and regeneration and all that. So I try to do that. I do a fruit smoothie every day. I throw some spinach and power greens in there. When I had leukemia, I went out foraging, and anything that looked like dandelion, I threw that in my salads. I used that opium lettuce, which kept me calm, which it's a weed. It grows all over. You right. got plantain. Anything that I could forage went into my salads.
You're definitely right when you say it's got to be organic, because if you go by non-organic, you're putting a lot of the same chemicals that might have caused the cancer back into your body. And organic is also, people, when you see organic in the grocery store, understand, you know, what organic means, because a lot of these companies will use the word organic, but it's really a marketing ploy. They still have chemicals on it. And I'll give you an example. You can go in the grocery store and buy the shiny apple or the dull looking apple. Most people are going to buy the shiny apple. It looks shiny. It looks clean. Shiny looks clean and healthy. That is a wax that has been put on that apple, so gnats and bugs won't get into that apple when it's in when it's being transferred from the farm to the grocery store. The problem is that wax, even though you put your apple underwater and wash it before you eat it, that wax cannot be washed off. The chemicals are still there. And so when you bite into that apple, even though an apple is healthy and organic, the wax that's on it is not. And that's what's going to possibly give you cancer. That's why when you shop organic, look at the ingredients, look at the other things that are in there, because just because it has organic on there doesn't mean what you think it means all the time.
Absolutely. And now they're putting bugs in food. Yeah. And those can be organic. It's like you got to know the keywords for these things. And MSG, there's like a whole bunch of spinoff terms because they keep changing it so people can't figure out what's in their food.
They keep changing the names of it. It's kind of like when I was a school teacher for years, and Common Core came out. It was a new form of teaching, and parents did not like it because it was not the standard standard way of how we learn. So we really couldn't help our kids when you're trying to do Common Core math, because there are like five different solutions to get the same answer. But when you're 5 and 6 years old learning your ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, trying to figure out 6 different solutions to the same problem can just get confusing. And so you get lost in it. I can remember my kid, she was trying to do a math problem that was very basic, but there were 5 different ways they wanted her to do it. And it's like, you got to get the basics down before you can go into this 5 different ways you can solve the problem. Get the basics down first. And that's not what they were doing. So when the parents complained about this, they said, well, we're going to change Common Core. We're going to get rid of it. And all they did was they took the manual to Common Core, ripped the name Common Core off, and put a different name on there, but it was the same stuff.
Oh, geez.
And they do that with food and a lot of other things too.
Yeah, exactly. It reminds me of tryptophan. They one time determined that tryptophan was bad, so they had to ban it, and you can't buy it in the stores. And the reason that happened was because there was a synthetic version of it, which caused a bad reaction, which you'd never get from the natural. So then they ban it all. Yeah. And you can't have access to any of it because of the synthetic stuff, which is more in line with conventional medicine. Everything's synthetic. It's infuriating to me.
Yeah, and we're seeing that in my industry right now with the hemp industry. They want to take all the psychoactive cannabinoids like Delta-8, Delta-9, THCA, and they want to put them under the umbrella of medical marijuana. And they say the reason for this is they want to get, and I'm all for this as far as, they say the reason for this is they want to put up some guide rails to get all the bad products out of the gas stations and the tobacco shops, vape shops, where the products are subpar and the owners don't vet the companies correctly. And so that's how you get bad product on the shelf that hurts people. I'm all for getting rid of that, but I'm not all for putting the hemp industry under the medical marijuana industry. One, it'll put me out of business. Two, it'll push our customers to the streets. And what I mean by that is a lot of our customers come in because they don't want the medical marijuana card. They don't want the lack of privacy. They don't want the lack of gun ownership. They don't like all the stipulations that come with that card. Plus the prices are 2 to 3 times higher than what you would see in my store. And they like my store because they can get a better quality product that they feel is a better quality product from what they tell me at half the price. And so if you put this under the medical marijuana umbrella, those customers aren't going to go out and get a medical marijuana card. Those customers are going to go back to where they were originally, which was before they were in my store, they were buying it off the street somewhere from a friend from high school or somebody they knew at work. And anytime you go to the street, your risk level goes up tremendously. And so, we're trying to prevent that from happening because the state of Mississippi is doing this. It's not federal, it's just our individual state. So hopefully that won't happen. Hopefully they'll put up guard rails to just protect people, but not wipe out a whole industry.
Yeah, I'm so excited to learn that we could promote what you've got because nobody's got what you got.
Well, thank you.
I mean, with you're the true master of diligence when it comes to CBD.
Well, thanks. We try to be, and we hope that's part of our success too. Is most people aren't diligent, and I appreciate you coming. And I hope, and I truly believe. There's some things that you've said that are going to, people are listening, that it's going to help them along the way. If they can't even use what you were using, it's at least going to expand their research and look into things. And that's what it's all about when you're fighting this battle, is to not give up, to keep looking, to keep pushing forward. And what that is doing your own research, looking into things, and then like you did with the essential oils, going, you know, no holds bar with it. You said you knew you were going to get sick in the beginning using this, but you knew in the long run it would help, and that's exactly what happened. So I appreciate you being on the show. I know things you said have helped. For those listeners, please catch us on YouTube and like and subscribe, and remember the coupon code HVP, Hempville Podcast, HVP20 for 20% off of anything in the store or online store that you might see or want or need for what you're dealing with. Other than that, please remember Hempville CBD stands for hemp, help educate more people. Bill, we all live in the same community. We should all be looking out after each other. Thank you, and I'll talk to you guys next week. If you found this podcast helpful, I'd appreciate it if you took a minute to subscribe, rate, review, and follow us at hempvillecbd.com. This increases the reach to more people who are trying to navigate through the changing cannabis market and its products so that we can create a more knowledgeable consumer. Take a screenshot and tag me in your social stories to friends. It means the world to me to know that this podcast has positively helped you and that we get to be a part of your journey. Thank you, and until next time, here's to a better life.